interestingly, is that there were only two occasions of which that Sabbath commandment was presented to Israel. It is recorded for us in Exodus, and then the second time it was in Deuteronomy. All right, I call it the Sabbath commandment because that was exactly what it was. It was not God suggesting, it was not God throwing an idea, it was God giving a commandment pertaining to the Sabbath. And it was given on those two occasions, and they are identical. If you were to read Exodus in a while and Deuteronomy, the commandments or the Sabbath commandment is identical, but the suggestion is different. The commandment is identical, but the suggestion that was given in those two occasions, they differ. And it is in that difference that we need to read together as a people. All right? So I'm going to go to this two. We're going to come and read these two sightings here. Let's turn to Exodus. And the 31st chapter, and I suppose you will know that this is the occasion of the children of Israel as a people delivered from Egypt out into the wilderness. And this is the preparation. This was the very foundation just as they enter into the wilderness. Exodus 31. And I want to read here as breaking here in verse 12. So this has to do with the Sabbath, by the way. All right. What does the word Sabbath mean? Of course, the Hebrew word for the word Sabbath is Shabbat. What does Sabbath mean? Sabbath simply means to deceit. All right. To desist. All right. To desist, it means to cease. To cease from what? To cease from exertion. It's a very simple, simple commandment. Sabbath simply means to cease from exertion, to desist from exertion. And here in verse 12, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." Very important. I read again. This was the very basis. This was the first occasion. This is the first time as a Sabbath commandment was communicated to the nation of Israel. It's very clear. There's no debate about it. There is no unclarity whatsoever. And there, God was straightforward about it. He said, "If this is the word to the sons of Israel, you shall observe my Sabbath, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." So this is one of the great realities that existed between God and Israel in a covenantal relationship. It was a covenantal relationship. It was initiated by God. God was the initiator. Israel was invited in this initiation to partake and to participate in something that was very important to Israel. All right? So I want you to see that. And sharing this Sabbath with God was to be included. All right? This is at the very heyday of a nation. It will be a sign between me and you throughout your generation. So this is not some, you know, activities that you do once in a while. This is a relational commitment. This is a covenantal commitment. It will be throughout all of your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So that is something about the knowledge of the Lord that is to be gained. That is something about the knowledge of the Lord that will be increasingly going to come to a people called Israel. There's going to be a knowledge of the Lord that will be shared with a people whom God has committed in this relationship. Now, all this is going to exist within the whole structure of the Sabbath. This is not to be played with. That's why it is sacred. That's why he says that you will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. The word sanctifies there is the word, what? Set apart, holy, sacred. The Sabbath is holy. This Sabbath is sacred. Verse 14, and therefore you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For 6 days you may be done. I was told that a particular shopping complex in Singapore was owned by Christians. Parents were Christians. Huge shopping chain actually, and they are the only one, apparently, I was told, in Singapore that do not open on a Sunday. So it seems that when the parents started it, this is now third, fourth generation now, but it was make to understand by even the future generations. I'm not too sure whether many of these great-great-grandchildren are with the Lord or walking with the Lord. But when the grandfather, the great-great-grandfather first started it, he was a Christian. And he insisted that that business was to rest every Sunday, whatever happens. So however big it grows, and it grew into a giant apparently. But that was to be the point. How can you ever go to a shopping mall, you know, to open any business today and not open on a Sunday? And so some of you should know that. Some of you should watch the movie called Chariots of Fire. Scottish guy. Remember his name, some of you? The one who participated on the Olympics. Sorry? Lindell. Eric Lindell. There you are. It turned into a movie. Fantastic. Some of you, just even the very music and the theme of the movie, make your hair goes on end. Every time I listen to it, my hair stands up. It's remarkable of a man who partook in the Olympics, but his event was scheduled, the final event, where he went through the heats, and finally the final event was scheduled on a Sunday. Refused to run. Refused to run. He say that, and of course, that he has to suffer, you know, having to be misunderstood. He suffered, you know, the comity and the people around him who's insist and says that, what's the difference? He said, that's the way. No way are they going to change the event in order to suit you. You one person ain't going to run. He said that, I'm not going to run. He said, and he was a favorite to win. And he said, if you don't run, then we lose the medal. He said, well, let it be. Eric Lindell. That was way back, I don't know how many years ago. Read the story. It's a movie, actually. Some of you should go watch it. Healthy, and a very, very encouraging movie for the family. I'm just in passing telling you some of these things. For 6 days you may be done, of works may be done, but on the seventh day, verse 15, there's a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. And whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed. How important those words are. The first occasion in Exodus, the Sabbath, was mentioned, and the suggestion was that God rested. That was the suggestion. All right? This was the occasion, the first time in Exodus, that the Sabbath and Sabbath keeping as a commandment was spoken and given to the children of Israel. And the basis was this. The instruction was, the suggestion was, that God rested. So what God said to Moses and to the children of Israel was simply, because I rested, I want you to enter into my rest. The Sabbath was God having to invite men to participate in the rest because he rested. And God rested was on the basis that he completed his creation. 6 days he took to complete creation. God did not rest because he was tired. Understand that. Today we understand the word rest is because we need a rest because we're tired. We need a rest because we're exhausted. We need a rest because we're sick. We need a rest because there's a virus. So many today are resting in their homes because they're fearful of a virus. They're fearful of COVID-19. The church is resting too today on Sunday. We're not even meeting because we don't want to spread the virus if we have one. Or we have whatever it's in our bodies. We rest because we are afraid. We rest because we're fearful of having an infection. We rest because we're tired. We rest because we're exhausted. We rest because we're unwell. But God rested because he completed his works. God rested because he finished his creation. He completed. So the whole premise of the rest was God invited men to understand something about completeness. God's invitation to us as his creature, as children of Israel, was to understand a measure of that completion. Can you imagine the scriptures say that even God himself used that word? He says that, but on the seventh day, he ceased from labor and was refreshed. Do you know the word refresh there is the word vitality? It's being, B-E-I-N-G. It's being, it's everything about us, well-being. Is it a being always has to do with the state of what we are, who we are, what we have become. And God, and the instruction here is pertaining to himself. He said that he sees on the seventh day, he sees from his labor and he was refreshed. There's something about the vitality, something about the very being of God, even who has finished creation and resteth. There's something in him of which has to be shared with men. Something of that marvel, something of that wonder, something of that secret, something of that mystery God intended to share with men. We can't know this, guys. Saints, we can't know this apart from that invitation. We cannot know this by any human device. We cannot know this by having to take a holiday, by having to eat the best food. We can't know this by having to have a strict diet and all the complete nutritions and everything that we do to our being in order to keep ourselves perfectly fit. All of this is important, by the way, as I'm saying, the But I'm just saying something here that is not of this world. I'm saying something here that is not of the whole human endeavor. I'm saying something here that is of a spiritual kind, of a truly spiritual reality that God reserves for himself. But he invites us to join him. The Sabbath was told to be kept and commanded to be kept by the nation of Israel, because the basis was, the first occasion that it mentioned in Exodus was because God himself rested. He invites us. That's the basis of the first commandment here, or the first Sabbath commandment that God gave to Israel, because I rested. Can you imagine? God doesn't run by our own, doesn't run like human schedule. God doesn't have a 9-to-5 job. God doesn't have a career. God doesn't have a company. He doesn't have a conglomerate. He doesn't have a cooperative. He doesn't have a factory. He doesn't have a company. But he finished. How important that whole concept is. He invites us to enter into his Sabbath is because he completed. There's something about the designs of God that is so perfect. He invites us to see that perfection. No wonder the Sabbath is a celebration. Why is it a celebration? It's so that it is for us to celebrate with him and to enjoy his completion, to enjoy all of the state of perfection. We're not perfect, but we are to behold him who is perfect. We're not complete, but we are. We are to be given into and been taken up with the whole education of that completion. And these are the words that we all long for in our entire life as a Christian. Lord, I wish I can be complete in this area and that area. Lord, I wish I can be perfect in this area and that area. Lord, I wish my being can be well and ongoing and full of vitality in this area and that area. Folks, we're supposed to, but that can only happen if we enter into his rest. That can only happen if we enter into his Sabbath. That can only enter if we keep his Sabbath. We are, our whole being is to be taken up with his perfection, with his completion, with his well-being, with his refreshing, with his vitality. Because in beholding him, we receive a measure of him within us that will set us on a course and a path of our own personal wholeness, our own personal perfection, our own personal celebration, our own personal well-being, and our own personal vitality and refreshing. And that's exactly what is happening today. You see why the breakdown today? The word disease is the word dis-ease. The word disease is the word dis-ease. Something in us that have gone dis-ease. That's what disease is. That's what diseases do to us. It dis-ease us. Something has broken down in us. What's a viral attack? Something has gone into our body and overwhelmed our antibodies, overwhelmed our ability to withstand that infection. We can't. Our bodies don't have the equipment. Our bodies don't have the fighting capability. Our bodies don't have the antibodies to fight back that which is breaking down our immune system. It's called a virus. We're exposed now to the elements. We're exposed now there to the world. Why has that been today? Why is it that today we've become so vulnerable? We have become a people of which the doors of our lives are open to the powers of the world to come upon us. You know, it's strange because this COVID-19 came at the heel of the medical conference in the world that has to do with world health. And that's why Eunice told us when she went for the conference, in the next 10 years, by projection, by statistic projection, in the next 10 years, the number one public killer will be mental health. It will overtake heart failure. Heart disease today is number one, but mental sickness is now coming to be the number one killer. And this is a conference that was held all over the world. If you check out the website, it was held concurrently within the 2 weeks from here to Argentina, to London, to the USA, to Europe, to the nations of the world. Why? Because mental health has become a crisis point in the nations of the world. And at the heel of this COVID-19 was the conference on mental health. We're breaking down as a human race, from within and from without. Virus is from the without. Mental sickness is from the within. So the world on the outside of us and the world on the inside of us can't hold it all together. We're cracking up, as they say. We're breaking down because we violated the Sabbath. Because we came against the very Sabbath of God as a human race. So he invites us into this sacred rest. He rested. Is there anything in which God created that is not perfect? Come on, lift up. Go to the sea. Go to any part of God's creation. Do you and I need to perfect that which has been created? Look at the stars above us. Can you perfect that? Look at all the elements around you today. Do they need any perfection? I'm not talking about man-made stuff. I'm not talking about structures and buildings and skylines and so on and so forth. I'm talking about the very creation of God. Pick up a bird, pick up a sparrow. We were on the road back the other day, and Adriel was driving. We saw a kingfisher right on the fence. Beautiful, just one little kingfisher, small little guy. Perfect. The colors is perfect. The size, everything about that kingfisher was perfect. Can you perfect that? Can you make it better? That's the habit in all of us, isn't it? We want to make it better. You can't make that better. It's perfect. You can't complain. The color, the shape, the size, the texture of the feather, everything about that kingfisher was perfect. Rest has to do with the Sabbath, has to do with God inviting us to enter into his completion, into his finished work. And I tell you, folks, and that's the reason today why, even as a church, we find it so hard to enter into the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The church has been around for 2,000 years, and the church struggles in every generation to participate in that great redemptive reality. And that which God began in the first creation, God started another new creation. We're having problem to appreciate the first creation and enter into the rest of that creation. And by that, tells us why we're having problem to enter into the new creation, the final creation that God created through Jesus Christ. And we're still having a problem trying to enter into the completion of that creation. We still find it hard to embrace, to understand, you know, to enter into all of the finished work of Jesus Christ, to make it our own, to be so identified with the cross of Jesus Christ that which he has achieved and that which he has accomplished there before the Father was to be given to us. We are to understand that great redemption that we are to enter in there. And to participate in all of the virtues, in all of the effectiveness, in all of the efficacy, in all of the powers and the ability. And why is it that it's taking such a long time for us? Rest. Entering into that Sabbath. So, first time, this Sabbath commandment was announced. Let's read the second one. It's given to us in Deuteronomy. Further down in Deuteronomy and the fifth chapter. And notice it's the same commandment, identical, but watch the suggestion, because There is a difference. And yet, in those difference or differences, is still the same. It is still a commandment to keep the Sabbath. But watch now that which differs. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Breaking in verse 12, Deuteronomy 5, reading from verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. It is you. You shall not do any work, you and your son, or your ox and your donkey. That includes even the animals, the herds, any of your cattle, or your even sojourner, even with friends, strangers who happens to lodge with you. Even they are included in the Sabbath. And as you keep the Sabbath, they are to participate with you too. Can you imagine that? Who stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember, verse 15. There you are. This is the second suggestion here. And I want you to pay attention. You shall remember that you were a what? That's the second suggestion as to why they were to keep the Sabbath. Because you were a slave in the land of what? Of Egypt. How long were they there in Egypt? 430 years. So in short, in modern English, what you're actually looking at is as good as God saying to the nation of Israel, for 430 years, you guys never had a holiday. For 430 years, Israel never had a holiday, never had a Sabbath, never had a rest day. And what were they for all those years? And God had to specifically state it. And this was the word that was used. They were what? He said that you were slaves. Reading on, you were slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. And therefore the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. What happens when you are a slave? You're under bondage. And when you're under bondage for 400 over years, what do? A nation starts to become barely just what? What were their trade? What was their slavery all about? They're supposed to make what? Bricks. Straw bricks. And Egypt as a civilization, we all know to this very day, their Sphinx and And the pyramids. Who make them? The Jews make it for them. From where? From what? From these straw bricks. Bricks has to be made. Massive. I don't know, millions of tons of bricks. It took 400 over years to be a people of such slavery, under such bondage to make them. So 400 over years, what was God watching at? He was looking at a people who were what? Who were slaves. Whose very life was defined by their hands, the hands of what they do, the feet in which they were shackled in. They became what? They became a task force. They became a crew. They became a professional brick maker. They became something. You cannot be under the domain. You cannot be in slavery over something like that and yet not see how it shapes your life. How it forges you to become the person that you are. And today, that's exactly the power and the engines of industries in the nations of the world. Some of you here are part of that too. You are an asset. You are a commercial item. You are a professional. You are a business card. You are the title in which you print on your card. You are an executive manager. You are a CEO. You are a computer analyst. You are a lawyer. You are a doctor. You are an accountant. You are known by your profession. You are known by what has made you and shaped you. You are valuable as long as you keep up to that standard and maintain that status quo. And God have to use that word, he say, because you were a slave in Egypt. When God used that, he knew exactly what he was saying. He identified that this was a people for 400 over years that never had a break, never took a holiday. It made them to be a task force, a crew, a working army of men and women whose hands and feet became specialists in break making. It turned them and made them and shaped them and formed them and structured them into a labor force that served the Egyptian army, the Egyptian pharaohs. This was the picture then. How many of you know that this is still the picture in our times? And so how important it is, I'm not asking you to quit your job, folks. I'm not asking you to give up your careers and things like that. I'm saying that we need to see this in perspective. We need to understand this today, why a tragedy of this kind and a national and an international global emergency has hit the shores of the nations of the world is because, saints, we've violated the Sabbath of the Lord. And once we violate the Sabbath of the Lord, sometimes in his mercy he waits. And I think he has been waiting. And from time to time, God, in his grace, in his mercy, he releases a glimpse of his judgment, a sense of his reaction to the things in which are running today in the nations of the world, as if that, you know, we are doing it as if that there is no consideration that God is in charge, that God is the owner of the creation, that God is the creator of the human creature. We run it, we run the affairs of our life, and the nation runs the affair of the nations as if that God is not to be considered, that God is nowhere to be seen, as if that God is an outsider, that God is a guest. We only need you as and when we need you, we call you to come. So we were having a discussion why suddenly when the COVID-19 come, churches declare emergency prayer meeting. When was it that God ever told the children of Israel to have emergency prayer meeting? Prayer was their life. Prayer was the breath. Prayer was their daily encounter. Prayer was the practice of the personal presence of Yahweh in their midst. Prayer was the response of which daily men gives to God. That's what prayer is. Prayer simply means that I'm talking in response to what God is saying. And today we are talking without even hearing what God is saying. So I like what Eugene Peterson says. Our speech is not initiation speech. Our speech is answering speech. Prayer is answering speech. We answer. How do we answer? We answer because we heard. We answer is because we respond to what God has already spoken to us. Why is there an emergency prayer meeting today? Because we have not been hearing. It took a COVID-19 to hit the world and hit the church and say, now we have an emergency prayer meeting. We should have been hearing. We should be answering him. all these days. We don't have to answer God only when there's a crisis. We need to answer Him every day. What if we have not been answering Him even in better times? How is it possible for us to answer Him in bad times when we're not even answering Him in good times, in better days? When we were free from sickness and free from viruses and free from all kinds of emergency and all kinds of crisis, why didn't we answer Him? Well, I tell you why. It's because we've not been seeking Him. And why have we not been seeking Him? Because we've not been hearing Him. And so this is the behavior. So we don't even know that sometimes we become slave, under bondage. The word today lives like that. So how important it is for us to understand in times like this that we are to return to ancient foundations, biblical concept, biblical foundations, biblical fundamentals that God laid for the creation, laid for the world, He laid for Israel today. And so it is for all of us. Slave, are we today? Are we slave? We become performers. We become task fulfillers. Isn't it? We become so given to one particular task. We become professionals. We're now defined by how good we are. And that's why that has given to a whole host of so much of personality breakdown. Where do you think all of the obsessive behavior comes from? It comes from the concentration of our life over a certain task in which we're given over again and again until it becomes an obsession. Anything in which we are given over and becomes an obsession, it's in itself the symptoms that we are already a slave to that thing. So the rest was to ensure, the rest was to protect the nation of Israel from ever returning to such a life again. What a tremendous introduction of the Sabbath commandment that God gave to Israel. What a wise and wonderful foundation to a covenant relationship that Israel was to know. And did Israel learn that? Well, they kept it. They kept it as an ordinance. They kept it as a commandment. They kept it as a tradition, as a law given by Moses. But today, having to enter into the land of promise, and the generations was to follow, I believe you know that Jews themselves violated that. All right, and so I want to read these two passages here today in view of what's happening, so that we can consider for ourselves here today, for the church at large, for the church and the nations of the world. I know that the world is like that. I know that the world will never appreciate the completeness, the beauty, the celebration, the rest, the vitality, the being, the refreshing that God invites us into. I know that the world doesn't appreciate that. But do we as Christian, do we enter into that rest and participate in God's rest? That's exactly what the Sabbath was all about. It was God's invitation for us to enter into a sphere, into a realm of life that is unknown on this earth. And when we don't have this, that's where we try to manufacture it today. We manufacture it by thinking that, you know, we're going to have bigger houses, bigger cars, all right, more money in our banks and more resorts and more time-sharing condominiums. We think that, you know, having to go for all these cruises and holiday is going to give us some kind of a respite from all the cares of the world. Isn't it? We want that. We want the spas. We want the massage. We want the beauty. We want all of those things done to our body in order to make it perfect. So that, you know, we can rejuvenate. You're 60 years old. My goodness, you look like you just look like 32. We like that, isn't it? That's complete. That's whole, that's refreshing. Because we've done this with moisturizer, we've done it with medication, we've done it with Botox. Is it called Botox? We've done it with medications and diets and whatnot. These are the paraphernalia. These are the alternatives. These are the make-believes to think that we can have that apart from God's Sabbath. No, you can. We can't. But it's going to lead you to nowhere. It's going to be temporal. It's going to just last for a moment and a while, and it's all over. Just when you finish your holiday, you need another holiday to recover from another holiday. Just when you've spent all the money, you think that everything is perfect, and you've gotten your best of environment, you've gotten your rest, you've gotten your spas, you've gotten your temporal enjoyment, you've gotten your little paradise, and before you know it, it comes crumbling down. No, the only destiny and the only thing upon which God gave to us as a human is to enter into His rest. That is our core. That is the chief end to our human existence, is to enter into God's rest. He rested. And He's waiting for the creation. He's waiting for us to enter into that rest, to participate with Him. We're not. We're not refreshed. We're far from perfect. We're far from whole. We're far from complete. We're far from all of that. But where is the answer? Where is the path? The path is the Sabbath of the Lord. We need to enter. So what if the time coming, we recover from COVID-19, the country is open again, we're back to normal, we have a vaccine in the months to come, and then what? How many of you know that our lives are going to go back to the same kind of a machine? That's the whole saga of human history. That's the repetitive, that is the fallacy, that is the curse that follows humanity. But I'm talking about even the Church of Jesus Christ today. Have we taken time? That's why it requires time. Sabbath was where everything stops. Can you imagine? That's what Sabbath is. When God rests, everything stops. He isn't having to go around, having to tidy up. You know, what's it that he didn't do? What is it that he forgot? What is it that he needs to perfect? You know, all of us, we're busybody here. Eh? You can finish a painting job. You still want back and go and touch here and touch there and nip here and nip there. Do we all do that? This is not just ladylike. This is men-like too. We go back there, we need to sort things out. It's not enough, we have to go back there and clean again and clean again and arrange again and touch again. Isn't it? I've seen people touch. After finishing this, you want to touch, and you have to say, must touch me? Not enough. It's the obsession having to go back. Something is not done yet. Something in you is not satisfied until that touch is laid on, or that thing is being touched by your finger. All of these queerness and idiosyncrasies in many of our lives is only because we have lacked the Sabbath of our life. We have not learned how to share the Shabbat of God. And that's why we have become such a broken down specimens of humanity. And that's why so many of us are so unwhole and remain unwhole for a long time. Because we won't enter into His rest. We won't enjoy His completeness, His perfection, His wellness, His well-being, His refreshing, His vitality. And in having to reject that, you know what we're actually saying to God? I can, whatever that you're supposed to provide for me in that Sabbath, I can provide for myself. And when we do that, we're on the road to destruction. We're on the road to breakdown. We're on the road to mental breakdown. We're on the road to infection. We're on the road to disease. We're on the road to every other breakdowns that follow our lives. And to do that is to invite our lives to become the slave, whatever that slavery it may be. From pot cleaning to brake laying. I don't care what kind of slavery we're going to give ourselves, what kind of a bondage we're going to get ourselves. You can be in the kitchen and that will be your bondage. You may not even run a corporate company. You can be just looking after your garden. That garden is your bondage. That little hole, that little home, that little thing, that little whatever that may be will become your bondage. And you are a slave to that Pharaoh of your life. So the Sabbath was to be kept so that we will never go down the road to participate in slavery. Because the Sabbath was to stay us out of any form of slavery. Why? Because the only ownership that the Sabbath will ever give to you is the ownership of Yahweh himself. Amen. God is the supreme owner. God is the supreme king. God is the potentate. God is the one and the only everlasting ruler and king over your life. So how important that was. That was to be the very foundation in the covenantal relationship between God and Israel, established first of all to the Sabbath. So Sabbath breaking has become habitual today. Sabbath breaking is in the world. And sadly, I hope Sabbath breaking should not be in the church, should not be in our lives. And so how important that is. So it's not just about coming to church on a Sunday. I keep the Sabbath, I come to church, I say, yes, we do. That includes coming to church. That includes the whole new covenant and the New Testament of not having to forsake the assembly and coming together for exaltation, for encouragement, for edification, and so on and so forth. But why do we come together? Why do we take a day off? Why do we stop working on a Sunday? I'm for stop working on a Sunday if we can't. I know we were just talking with some of the folks who have to work on a Sunday. We had a visitor who was here last Sunday. She was almost in tears. She's a Christian for the last 2 years and never had a church, never went to church, never rested. And even if it was a Sunday, she was just so tired. Impossible for her to ever even get up physically to come to the Church of Jesus Christ to worship the Lord and be with God's people. And it's because, you know, her work takes her all through Saturday and she's completely exhausted, it seems. So I said, that has to change. I was speaking to her from here, and then all just on the way out downstairs, I spoke to her. I said, whatever the time that you get, come. And also my challenge to some of these people that I talk to is that believe that the Lord will rearrange something for you. You'll open the door for you so that you don't have to do that. A day rest, a day together with God's people. All right, and I encourage this not because I'm old-fashioned, it's because I'm biblical. All right, so I'm biblical, and I am trusting that we will know this for our lives and all the days to come, folks. That this is generational. This is not just your time, but this is for all the generation. It's for their well-being. It's for the refreshing. It's for their vitality. It's for the shaping of their very human being as men and as women. Tell me, folks, seek out, if you can, all of the servants of the Lord whom God have raised up through the sanctuaries throughout the decades, the sanctuaries too, and all of them understood how important was the Sabbath, every one of them. All right? And that's why so many of them have served the purposes of God and serve it with such with such power, with such glory to the last days of their life. How important that is. I was listening, I think, some years ago before David Wilkerson pass on and return to the Lord, and how he insisted the Sabbath was to be kept all through his life. The Sabbath was to be kept even in his family, his children, his grandchildren. that however busy, whatever that sometimes he either preach or don't, but Sabbath was the time for him to rest. It's for a day of which God have appointed. That includes even the day, the Sunday itself, for him to rest. And men like him has kept this foundation for their lives in modern times, and we have seen the results, and we have seen the fruits. And this is as God promised to the children of Israel, that is to be kept for all of the generations. Let's do this. Some of you who are young, this is your privilege. Those who are parents, you're supposed to keep it so that your children can learn from it and know of all of its blessing and all of its power and vitality. And I do that. And that's why for 2 years when we closed down, when we didn't have a Sunday, when we didn't have to keep a Sabbath, it was absolutely difficult for us for a while. But that was only just a waiting period. And even that, we were longing to be part of the body wherever we went, wherever I was invited to preach, and we were part of that. So is there a word that the Lord would have us to hear in times like this today, in our nation and in the nations of the world? Yes, I think there is something about the keeping of the Sabbath that has been violated. And so let's return to that, all right? And this is in no way having to put any condemnation, any guilt in your heart. If you have to sometime work on a Sunday, your schedules, your timetables and stuff like that, it comes with it in our modern times. But I think with this in view, with this word in view, and with this plumb line for our lives, let's believe that the Lord is going to open that door for us. The Lord would do this individually. We're encouraging my young brother there, you know, to get to a better working schedule, wherever we can, however that we can. The ways of the Word, and I know how difficult it is because everything stands in opposition to the Word. Sunday is the best day to do business. Sunday is the best time. Sunday is this, Sunday is that. Sunday is where the customers are free. Sunday is where the barbershop is open. Eh? Sunday is the pet shops are open because that's where everyone is free to bring their dogs and cats to the pet shop. So we open on a Sunday. So everything is geared towards what the world wants, what's the public want, what does God want? That's what caused Eric Lindell to finally say, I know what you want, I know what the Olympic Committee want, I know what the Olympics want, I know what my country want, but I know what God wants. And that's what he basically was telling everyone around him, I know what God wants. This is God's. This is God's day. This is God's rest. It cannot be compromised. That's what makes the difference. And today, his testimony stands throughout generation as a witness. And that's exactly what God said to the nation of Israel, you shall be my witness. Why do you think I brought you into my Sabbath? So that you can be a witness to the nations. Because God knew that down the corridor of time, this is where human history is going to pan out. This is where the world is going to go head-on collision with all of this. This is a head-on collision. COVID-19 is a head-on collision. Are we waking up to that head-on collision? I don't think so. I don't think so. We don't have our hospitals like mortuaries that we can keep the bodies. Italy experiencing that. We don't know where to put the dead bodies. The reason why Italy is hit is because 27% of their entire population is 65 and above. And once you have a COVID-19, when you have a COVID or coronavirus hit you and your old age with diabetes, with all the underlying issue, you're going to die. You don't have a fighting chance. And the Italian happens to have high population of old folks. That's why the death rate is so high in Italy. So that's why he gave to Israel, so that you be my witness. And God knew that. He knew that this would be opposed. He knew that this would not be followed. But he said, I chose you, Israel, to take of this, to know of my Sabbath, because I want to use you as a witness to the nations of the world. And that's exactly what God intends to share with us the Sabbath, so that we can be a witness. God doesn't intend that, you know, the whole world is going to understand what you're doing. The Olympic committees is not going to understand what Eric is going to talk about. The ways of the world, they want what they want. They push the agenda. They're powerful. They are conglomerates. They are powerful. They have authorities. They have money. They have powers that be who are in charge. So what do? And that's why this is to be understood, not just with an individual. This is to be understood even as a church. Would to God that the church in our country will understand this. Our lives, our pastors, our leaders, our fathers and our mothers will understand this for our lives. In practicing it, in entering into the Sabbath, we're seeing the benefit that follows. How wonderful it is to see our sons and our daughters one day becoming lawyers and doctors and accountants and businessmen. They're not slave. They're not slave to the trade. They're not slave to their works. They're not slave to their money. They're not slave to their jobs. How wonderful to know, to see our children and their vitality and their well-being turning from glory to glory, from perfection to perfection, from wholeness to wholeness. Say amen. How wonderful it is to watch a man change. I sat down with tea with a man who is 61 years old, and I have known, I pastored him 30 over years ago, and he looked at me almost with tears in his eyes. You know, he called me chief. He said, "Chief," he said, "what's the use being a Christian all these years? Change, there's no change, chief. I passed my 60th birthday and realized there's no change in my life." We sit down together. He's the owner of a restaurant. We sat down and we were talking, and he was in tears. He said, "Gee, I came to realize, what's the use? I've been sitting in a church for all my life." He said, "Change. Look at my marriage. I'm not divorced, but my goodness, I'm not having a happy marriage. My kids are going to church, but look at my life. I don't know even who God is. I'm confused. I don't know who to pray to the Father, to the Son, or to the Holy Spirit. One was better than enough. Now three in one. I don't know what to do with them." Here is a Christian talking to me. He signed up in his own church, you know, as a leadership chorus. He wants to really get serious with his spiritual life. And we sat down for 2 hours. He on his phone and recorded everything that I spoke. So it became a personal preaching session between me and him. And that's what he said, change. He said, "Chief, change. There's no change. I know this. My wife don't have to tell me. I have no change. I've been a Christian for years. My ways are the same. I know this. My customers are telling me that I have problems in some of these areas." He said, "Now when I pass my 60s, I begin to realize this has become a problem." I said, "You should know that this has been a problem years ago." He said, "Yes, I knew it was a problem, but," he said, "I didn't know it was that serious." We're supposed to know it on a daily basis, because if we have entered into that rest, then we will know that in participating his rest, we see so much in him that is so alien from in me. I see that which is on his face that I don't have. I see that which is in him that I'm lacking. I see that which is in him that I need to start to appropriate and start to come and start to embrace and start to repent and start to change and start to lay things on my feet and say, "God, something has to happen." That's what the rest entails. That's what the rest does to us. That's why it was a commandment. Because God knows us more than we know ourselves. He commanded this because he knows this is where we're heading. Collectively, this has head into where it is today, folks. So thousands upon thousands of men are not in restaurants. They're not in soccer field. They are not in cricket field, they're not in stadium, they're not in auditorium, they're all at home, locked in, afraid of the virus. Are they having a Sabbath? Are they in the place of Sabbath? No. But it is God's way of pausing the history, a momentary history of the world and the nations of the world, to say, "I have enough of this. This is enough to give you a jolt and give you a rock." and give you a shake. So now they're saying, if this is going to go on for the next 2 months, airline is going to declare bankruptcy. They can't survive. You can't lease 25 aircraft and yet not pay every week. That costs millions and millions of dollars, and no one is flying. Airlines are all virtually empty, flying home everywhere. So this is a pause for all of us here. I hope that this will be a pause for all of us here too. So please, thank God for jobs. Thank God for professions. Thank God amongst us here are professional people, educated, trained, able, gifted in areas of their life. But remember, we're never meant to be, to come to a place we become a slave to that very thing. All right, we're never meant to be. We're meant to bring it and enter into that Sabbath so that whatever that we have, the gifts that we have, the talents that God has blessed us with, those things that we acquired through the years, the abilities, you know, the techniques, the skills, thankfully, that have done good and that has been a blessing in some ways. But listen, it should never in any time ever obscure, ever deviate you or move you away from entering that rest. The Sabbath of the Lord, keeping that Sabbath, that's all that matters. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand, shall we? Lord, we're so thankful. Thankful that your word remained true, faithful, and changing from everlasting to everlasting. We thank you for your counsel and how we need it today. Bring this into our consciousness. So many of us, we have forgotten it, we have neglected it, we have even come to a point where it is even non-existent perhaps for some. We've gone into the motion. We've gone into thinking that by having to go to a church, that is my Sunday morning, my Sabbath. And yet have missed the very meaning, has missed the very significance of it all. Thank you so much, Lord. You push a pause button in recent weeks and look at where we are. Look at the fear. Look at the meltdown. Look at what has happened to nations, to industries, Lord, to governments, to powers that be. Lord, we're thankful that we have chance to meet, to hear this. And if at all that this has any meaning, I pray that this word will go forth in the website to many nations, to many ears, to many hearts, to many Christians, to many sons and daughters, to many men and women today, perhaps who are even in leadership. And some of us could even be slave to the point that we're even slave to the church, we're slave to the ministry, and yet not slave unto Jesus. We're slave in what we do, what we perform, our hands, our feet. We have become professional. We have become fulfillers of tasks, of programs, of a certain activity. We're so good in all of this. And yet all the time, we have never participated and celebrated in your refreshing, in your wholeness, in your completeness, in your perfection, in all that you have prepared for us. My God, we give you thanks again. Thank you for the law of Sabbath. Thank you for establishing it for humanity, for men, for women. My God, restore this in these days. Restore it, perhaps more so, I pray, that in this crisis across the nations, the church will be the first one to hear you and hear you well and take heed of this, that we privately, individually will walk this faith, will walk this road of faith and enter into a measure of this reality. Cause that to happen for us, even amongst us here. Thank you so much for this. We give you thanks. We give you praise as you seal your word in our hearts this day. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.